If you have your Bibles this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And I want to share for a few moments on waiting on God. How many love waiting? Can I see your hand? How many love waiting? Okay, there's just a few people that like waiting. I don't like waiting. I have to take my mother sometime to get her blood tests, and we have to take a number, and then we have to wait. Yeah, we went in there last week, and it wasn't much of a wait. It was just one number, and then it was hers, and away she went. It was very good. And one thing I thank God for about Creston is that you don't have to wait very long in traffic. Because in Toronto, you have to wait a long time in traffic to get anywhere. So no waiting. The bank lines are very short here in Creston. And so no waiting. But you know what? Waiting's not easy. And sometimes the Lord asks us to wait. He does. He asks us to wait. 1 Samuel chapter 13, beginning at verse 8. And Saul waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, "Bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. How many know that God does not always answer according to our timetable? God does not always answer according to our timetable. God has his own plan. And we have to wait for his will. Can somebody say amen this morning? Saul wasn't willing to wait. And he offered the burnt offering. And as soon as he had finished the offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, paddywhack, give the dog a bone. No, that's... You know, this sounds like a town in New Brunswick. I just have to tell you that. Michmash. I'm sure if somebody Googles it right now, they're going to find a town in New Brunswick called Michmash. Oh, my. I said, "Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Father, I just pray this morning, over your word today. Lord, that your precious Holy Spirit will speak to us so clearly today. Lord, I just pray that your Spirit will speak to us in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we all hate waiting. Some people who wait get angry or frustrated. Sometimes they get scared and they lash out. Waiting can get dicey when the situation is going from bad to worse. How many know that's what was happening with Saul? He was waiting for the prophet to show up, and things weren't getting better, they were getting worse. Have you ever been in a situation or circumstance where you have been waiting for God to show up, and while God is waiting to do his work, things are getting worse? How many have ever been in that situation? I think we've all been in that situation. And that's exactly what was happening to Saul. His army was beginning to scatter. And instead of waiting for Samuel, according to the command of God, he took matters into his own hands. That's what he did. He rationalized his circumstances and moved out in the flesh. He rationalized his circumstances and he moved out in the flesh in his own strength and in his own power. And friends, let me say this morning that the results were tragic. When we don't wait for God, and when we decide to take matters into our own hands, and we move out in our own strength, the results are always tragic. Now listen. He lost God's best. His reign would end, and another would take his place. And we know who it was. It was David. Waiting for God's plan to unfold is always the best plan of action. Can somebody say amen this morning? Or do you believe that? This morning, I want to look at three promises for those who wait. I want to look at three promises for those who wait. You know, waiting is not inactivity. Waiting is not slumbering. Waiting is anticipation for what God is going to do on your behalf. Hello? Waiting is anticipating in faith that God is going to move in to your situation. Hallelujah. God is going to show up. Can somebody shout amen this morning? God's going to show up. How many know God shows up? God always shows up, but not when we think. And not when we've planned, but according to his will and his purposes. Hallelujah. God always shows up. He never lets you down. He will never disappoint you if you walk according to his ways. He will always bless you when you wait. He will always bless you when you wait. I am so glad. And I want to say this honestly this morning. I am so glad I waited for this lady to show up in my life. Somebody ought to be shouting hallelujah this morning. I said, I am so glad that I waited for this lady to show up in my life. You know, some people just marry anybody because they're desperate. Come on, it's the truth, isn't it? They just marry anybody. They got two eyes, two arms, two legs. They check all the features. They got hair. It's not too balding. I choose that person. How many know God has a choice for you? God has someone, glory to God. And when God puts his choice in your life, you get blessed. Hallelujah. Somebody's not shouting hallelujah because maybe they're doubting. Still waiting. Sister, cut that from the tape. Cut that from the tape. And while you're waiting, what does the devil do? He sows doubt in your mind. That's what he does. He sows doubt in your mind. You're going to be alone the rest of your life. Sometimes that's not... Sometimes that's not a bad idea. Oh, man, we're getting in trouble this morning. I don't know if we're going to be able to put this on YouTube or not. Oh, my. I want to look at three promises this morning from God's Word. Psalm 25, verses 3 to 5. Again, waiting is not inactivity. Waiting is not slumbering. Waiting is being in anticipation for what God is going to do. How many know that we're waiting on God here at Grace Christian Fellowship because we believe that God is going to pour out His Spirit upon this assembly in the name of Jesus? Let me give you, and I'm repeating myself, let me give you three promises. Number one, you won't regret or experience shame when you wait for God's best. Can I say that again? You won't regret or experience shame when you wait for God's best. Isn't that the truth? When you're in the will of God, there's never regret. There's a sense of settledness. There's a deep sense of His peace when you're in the will of God. Even though others may be rushing ahead of you, and they seem to be making more progress than you are. But friends, the best place to be is in the center of God's will. Hallelujah. No matter what's happening, no matter what's not happening, it's better to be in the plan and with the purposes of God flowing in your life. Hallelujah. Look what it says in Psalm 25. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. That's a promise. God's not setting you up for humiliation. That's the work of the devil. Humiliation is the work of Satan. That is not the plan of God for your life. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. And then The psalmist prays, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Man, that's a long time to wait, all day long. What am I waiting for? I'm waiting for his guidance. I'm waiting for his direction in my life. I'm waiting to sense how he is going to lead me in the midst of this situation and in the midst of this circumstance. That's what God is after. That's why the psalmist prays that. In the name of Jesus. You know, in places like Afghanistan, and even in Europe, people have lost their limbs because of bombs that have been placed there from previous wars. Isn't that the truth? And so what they have to do is they have to go and clear the mines. How would you like to have that job? You have to go into areas that were once war-torn, and you have to find out where those bombs are. Any sudden movement, any wrong movement can cost you your life. I'm going to sign you up. How many know that's a dangerous occupation? But somebody's got to do it. To save lives. And friends, that's the Christian walk. The devil has all these booby traps. Come on, it's the truth. He's got all these landmines everywhere to try to destroy your life. But let me tell you something this morning. God knows where every landmine is. Hallelujah. Nothing is hidden from his sight. So he is going to gently direct you around those traps, around those areas that could cause danger. Friends, let me tell you something this morning. Is this an eye-opener or what? Vaping can kill you. Smoking causes cancer, just so you don't know. We've been preaching that for such a long time. Don't smoke. Don't destroy the body and the temple of the Lord. And they're just figuring it out now. Friends, let me tell you something. God has already had a plan to divert us around the things that could destroy both soul and body. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He wants to lead us and guide us and direct us. Someone says, I don't need God's help. I can do it myself. Boom, boom, blew off a leg. The Bible says those who wait for God will not be put to shame. God is going to lead your life if you let him do it. In Jesus' name, follow the leader. Come on, somebody. Follow the leader, the Holy Spirit. Spirit, the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Secondly, this morning, a great blessing comes to those who wait for God's best. Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. Wow. How many would like to have some land? That's not talking about literal land. It's talking about receiving a blessing in the name of Jesus. God wants to bless those who wait for him to show them the way. How many have ever made a mistake and done it yourself? Let me see that again. How many have made a mistake and done it themselves? Yeah, we've all done that. There's a few that didn't lift their hands because they think they know what they're doing, but they really don't. They're puffed up like a toad frog. They have no clue what they're doing. We don't. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. We really do. And God says, I'm going to exalt the person who waits for me. Hallelujah. Waits for me to show them the way. Hallelujah. You've got to wait on God. Every door that opens is not always from God. Hello? Every door that opens is not always from God. Are you hearing me? The devil can open doors for you. Come on in. Come on in. But it's not God that's opening the door. It's not God. Not every door is a door that God is opening. Sometimes they're doors that Satan is opening. Hello, someone. It's the devil that wants to get you off track, wants to get you busy doing something that is not in the plan or purpose of God. So he just opens the door and says, come on in. But when you wait on God, you're sensitive to his purposes and his plans for your life. And when a door opens, brother, you want to know for sure that it's God. Because I'm not stepping out of his will. Not for anybody. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm not going to let the devil rob me of my blessing in the name of Jesus. Can somebody shout amen this morning? I'm not going to let the devil rob me of the blessing that belongs in my house. Just because it's a gift doesn't mean you should take it. Hello? Just because it looks good doesn't mean it's God. Right? You know, I've made that mistake, haven't you? Something looks good, tastes good, feels good. It's got to be God. Not necessarily. That's why we need discernment in this hour. Did you know there's a gift called discerning of spirits? And if there's ever been a time in the church that we need discerning of spirits, it's today. We need the gift of discerning of spirits to be awakened within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just because something draws a crowd doesn't mean it's of God. Can I say it again? Just because something draws a crowd doesn't mean it's of God. I take exception to things that are coming into the church to draw crowds, but they're not anointed of the Holy Spirit. It's got to be God's presence that draws people. It can't be entertainment. A great blessing comes for those who wait for God's best in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No, not that one. No, not that door. No, that's not what I want to do. No to that. No to that. Until I get a witness in my spirit and there's a confirmation through His Word. Hallelujah. Then I'm going to step out. Oh, come on. Glory to God. You know, I have this conversation with people all the time. Not any of you, of course, other people. Don't do that. Yeah, but it feels good. I said, it's not in the Word. It doesn't line up with the Bible. Yeah, but it feels good. It doesn't feel bad. You can't go by your feelings. I said, you can't go by your feelings. You got to go by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And friends, the Word of God has got to be our main source of divine revelation in the name of Jesus. And you know what? What I'm talking about is dangerous ground. Because people are not waiting on God. They're not digging into the Word of God. They're making their own decisions. Whatever we do has got to be led by the Spirit of God, or it's going to end up in disaster. And you know what? I know some people say, oh, God gives a million chances. No, there's a time where God says that's enough. God, that's enough. Look what the psalmist says. I have seen the wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree, but he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless, and behold the upright. For there is a future for the man of peace. Hallelujah. When everyone else is rushing ahead of you and you're just slowly trying to figure out the will of God and be led by the Spirit, and everybody's just rushing ahead, having a good old time. That's like that driver. We were in a snowstorm in Brampton, and this young guy, still wet behind the ears, he's tired of sitting behind us because we're just driving slow because it's a snowstorm. And he says, you know, I don't got time for this. So he just pushes out his car into another lane and just jams on the gas and just row. And we're just slowly driving. And then we look ahead and we see police car with the lights flashing. And there he is, smacked into the back of somebody else's car. And I couldn't help myself as I drove by slowly. Number three, those who wait experience God's hand of deliverance. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. You know what? There are pits that we find ourselves in that you can't climb out of. And I've been in those pits. There's no way to climb out. There's no way to get out. But David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction. Hallelujah. Thank God for that this morning, for his mercy. Hallelujah. His mercy when we find ourselves in deep waters. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Can somebody praise the Lord this morning? He drew me up from the pit of destruction. Oh, hallelujah. I just want to dwell on that for a moment, because we are all going to find ourselves at times in deep waters, in difficult situations, and we just can't seem to get out of it. Did you know that there are things that only God can break? There are bondages that only God can break. There are shackles that only God can break. And I want to declare, I want to prophesy this morning that there's coming a wave of deliverance to this church and to this town and to this valley. And it's not the deliverance of man. It's going to come from the Holy Spirit. I want to stop here for a moment, because there are people in this town, there may be even people in this church, that are bound up. And I don't care what kind of help the government gives, that's not the answer. It may be good-natured, but it's not the answer. There are people that have shackles on that want to be free, and they're running about trying to find an answer. But I have the answer this morning, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. He can set the captive free. Can somebody shout amen this morning? He is able today. There are people shut up in their homes. They can't come out. They can't face anyone. And it's going to take the delivering power of God Almighty to set them free in Jesus' name. I believe all of us in this room probably have at least one thing that we need deliverance from, if we're really honest with ourselves. God doesn't want us to be bound to anything. He wants us to be free, totally and completely, in every area of our lives. He wants us to be fully and completely free in the name of Jesus. The Bible says here, he drew me up from the pit of destruction. Out of the miry bog. Every hunter here should know what a miry bog is if you're hunting. I've been fishing and I've found myself in a miry bog. Usually I have boots on and they sink down into the mud. And every time you walk, you hear this. And if a bear was going to chase you, you'd be in trouble. Friends, we find our spiritual lives in that situation. And God wants to bring deliverance to our souls and the souls of our friends and family members. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm crying out from the very heart of God. He wants to bring Holy Ghost deliverance to hearts and souls in this town and in this valley and in this church. He said, he drew me up from the pit of destruction and out of the miry bog. And he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. You know what? When that man with a legion of demons was delivered, the Bible says he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Friends, God is into finishing the product so it's better than it was before in the name of Jesus. And you know how you know you've been delivered? Because you get a new song in your mouth. A song of praise to your God. And many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. You say, brother, what's going to cause the mighty revival to break out? Friends, if somebody gets delivered in this house and they begin to shout it out, hallelujah, with a new song in their soul, it's going to spread like wildfire throughout this town. One transformed life will transform another life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Those who wait experience God's hand of deliverance. I am waiting not on the arm of flesh, but on the arm of God. To reach down into that pit of destruction and pull me out in the name of Jesus. You know what? And I'm closing. Maybe. There used to be a time in the church that if somebody was bound by something, they would come to the altar and get free. When my dad got saved, he took his cigarettes and he crushed them up, right? And threw them away and never had another smoke. He went home after he got saved. And he took his alcohol and he poured it, right, down the sink. And he said, I'm not going to have another drink. And he never did. Hallelujah. Oh, we might not have had the biggest entertainment in the church in those days. We might not have had the nicest buildings, but there was a display of the power and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need today, folks. in the name of Jesus. I believe that we are going to see it in this house in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, because I'm waiting and you're waiting on God in anticipation of what he's going to do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe God can do it? Do you believe God can set somebody free, release them in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Bless those that wait upon him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray this morning.